Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I would like to invite you to stay tuned to this radio show. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation and inspiration and education, and it's always done with no manipulation. That means we're not here to convince you that you're a bad person. We're not here to manipulate you into doing something that would make up for being that bad person, and I'm not here to persuade you to join anything or give anything. The only job I really have on this radio show is to document, without error, the truth of the Word of God. And that's a big chore, believe you me, because whenever anyone presumes to speak for God on a radio show like this, it's a very touchy situation. I indeed better know what I'm talking about, because God holds me accountable if I misrepresent Him to you or if I compromise His righteousness concerning what He's done for you. And so this show, you can bet one thing on it. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to give you accurate information. Now, if you want to verify and identify God's plan for your life, you're at the right place. And if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, you have the freedom and the privacy to do so in your home, in your car, wherever you may be right now. But there's one thing for sure that God gave you and me. He gave us two ends. One end to think with and one end to sit on. And success in our life depends on which end we use. As heads we win and tails we lose. And so God wants us to think. He wants us to learn to think. It's a very interesting term that was coined by my pastor years ago. He wants us to think divine viewpoint. And that is, what is the will of God for you in any situation in your life? Divine viewpoint. Not human viewpoint. Now, human viewpoint is what your friends think or what some guy may tell you if he was in your situation, he would do. And you can usually take it to the bank that that's usually bad information. The Bible, in regards to the kind of information we need, says this, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, that's in Philippians 2:5. Now, how do I get the mind of Christ? 1 Corinthians 2:16 says the Bible is the mind of Christ. And so if we take the Bible and if we can explain it accurately to you, break it down so you'll know what it's teaching here, and it's possible you can acquire the mind of Christ in your life. And as you acquire the mind of Christ, then you can make the application. You can say, yes, I'm going to do that, or no, I'm not going to do that. You see, this is your volition. God gave each of us a volition. It's part of the format of our soul. And your volition can say yes, or your volition can say no. In regards to the Lord Jesus Christ, many people say, yes, I believe that He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And some people say, no, there's not enough evidence for me to believe that, and so I cannot. And some people accept it by faith, and some people want documentation or some sort of empirical evidence or data before they can believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I'm telling you that even if Jesus Christ walked among us today, many people still would not believe that He's the anointed Son of God. And the reason that I say that is He walked among His own people, and they rejected Him. So don't make the mistake of thinking that if Christ came back, everyone would accept Him. No, they wouldn't. Not at all. It still would have to be a matter of faith. Do you believe it or not? You see, when you watch the evening news, you use faith. And whoever you're watching as your evening news commentary, do you believe they're telling you the truth? And do you put your faith and trust in their accurate analysis of the news for the day? See, that's what faith is. And it boils over to the other side. Do you believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? Is it an accurate analysis of His life, what He did, what He said? And see, that's what volition does. Volition believes. And you have volition. God gave it to you. He's a gentleman. He allows you to choose. He didn't make you a robot. God gave you freedom of choice. And that volition will make the ultimate decision on what you do or what you don't do. But nobody, and by the way, this, if you're listening today, if this is your first time, this is the Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. I'm Rick Hughes, the host. And this show is about keeping the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. We have said countless numbers of times on this show that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. And so there are problem-solving devices found in the Bible, and if you learn them, deploy them, and use them, then in fact you can stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. It is indeed possible, yes, but you have to learn and deploy those problem-solving devices. So that's what we're doing. We're teaching you what the Bible says about this. And we did a study that carried maybe on this show. I always run in a series. I don't do topical shows. It's a series. And so we did a series on core values, or what are the core values of the mature believer. And now we're talking about something that is rotten to the core inside of you. And that is your genetically formed old sin nature. It's rotten to the core. You got it from Adam. And therefore, this old sin nature, you're going to have it until you die. You see, God created man as a perfect creature. He did that in the garden. Adam and Eve were perfect. God did not create their old sin nature. They created it. See, by his very essence, God cannot sin. He cannot tempt you to sin, and he cannot solicit you to sin, because God is perfect. He's absolute justice. He's absolute righteousness. He's absolute love, and this is God's integrity. So all sin originated in the human race through the negative volition of Adam. God gave Adam a choice. He gave him a free will. And Adam went negative to what God said. Adam went negative to the plan of God. You see, Satan was the original sinner in eternity past and the author of all sin. And he tempted Adam's wife, Eve. And so the solicitation to evil came from Satan, the original sinner. And the origin of sin came from the awareness of Adam's negative volition from his own free will. No one made him sin. He chose to sin. Listen, Eve, certainly the Bible says she was deceived. And Adam was not deceived. From his own volition, his own free will, he knew what he was doing. I don't know why he chose to eat the forbidden fruit. I can't tell you why, except maybe the only human solution I could think of, and it's not much of a solution, was that he knew Eve would be kicked out of the garden, and he loved her. He didn't want to lose her. And maybe irrationally, he logicked that God wouldn't kick them both out since his job was to name the animals. But he was wrong. And they both were banished from the Garden of Eden because of their sin. So he is the one who actually manufactured this old sin nature by rejecting the divine authority of God and violating the divine prohibition. See, God said, don't do that. And that's God's authority. And Adam said, no, I will do that. And the prohibition is don't eat that fruit. And Adam ate the fruit. So when he rejected the authority of God and he did what he should not do, he sinned. And he manufactured an old sin nature which contaminated his body and made it a body of corruption, a body of contamination. Pay attention carefully. Jesus Christ is called the second Adam in the Bible. And the Bible says that he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, just like Adam was tempted, just like you were tempted. And he never sinned. Not one time. Very interesting. And so he did not have an old sin nature. When our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was the perfect Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, that took away the sin of the world. That's how wonderful it was. He was not born with a sin nature like you are and like I am, but you and I are born with it. It comes through the mail, And you did not get here, neither did I, without having a male involved in our copulation, in our creation. But Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, had no male involved. Mary was a virgin, and the Holy Spirit of God conceived within her the baby Jesus. And when he was born into this world, he was born free of a sin nature. This is why it's essential that you understand there was no man involved in the birth of Jesus, because if there was, then Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, would have had an old sin nature, and he would not have been qualified to go to the cross. This is why you cannot pay for your own sin, because the justice of God does not accept anything that you do from a contaminated and a corrupted sin nature in your body. So Jesus said in that day, speaking of the day of judgment, he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did I not do this and did I not do that? And he said, I will tell them, I never knew you. Yeah, you did a lot of good things and a lot of nice things, but they came out of your contaminated, corrupted human nature. This gives us a little key here. Can bad people do good things? I'm sure they can. Bad people can do good things. Does that mean they'll go to heaven? No, it doesn't. Can good people do good things? Yes, they can. Does that mean they're going to go to heaven? No, it doesn't. The only reason you or I would go to heaven is because in eternity past, Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, was judged in our place. He was our substitute on the cross, and the penalty of God was placed upon him. And if we come to Christ and believe that he is the sin bearer, then our sins are forgiven. But without accepting Christ, you're going to be judged for your sins, and you will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, let me back up and re-say that one more time. I might not have said that accurately for you here. Without believing in Jesus Christ, you will be judged yourself. Not for your sins, I didn't mean to put it that way, but for all of your good works. All of your good works. If you read in Revelation chapter 20, you will see where the great white throne of judgment occurs, and you will see that unbelievers are judged on two things. Number one, is their name in the book of life? And the answer is no. And number two, the book of works are opened up, and they now have the opportunity to show how their righteousness equals the righteousness of God. And it does not do it, because they have a contaminated, infected sin nature. See? So either the judgment that Christ experienced, you accept it, or you are judged yourself for your works. Because all sin has already been judged. All sin has not been forgiven, because everyone hasn't accepted Christ. But all sin has been judged on the cross. And the justice of God was satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, then the righteousness of Christ is imputed to you. But everybody has a sin nature except Jesus. That sin nature is Satan's agent for recruiting you into his cosmic system. You ever wondered why your kids do some of the dumb things they do? Why your spouse, the one you love so much, continues to be such a jerk? You ever wondered what causes that? Have you ever wondered why sometimes you feel like two absolutely different people? It's because you have a sin nature. When the sin nature gets in control of your life, you can do some absolutely terrible things. As a matter of fact, you may even look like an unbeliever. Or, you know, it may be the other way. When the sin nature gets in control of your life, you may become a self-righteous, legalistic, religious fundy. And you may be willing to kill somebody in the name of God and think, mistakenly, obviously, that you're doing God a favor. You know, these are the people that I really fear. It's the self-righteous, religious fundies who think they're going to do God a favor by eliminating you because you're such a bad sinner. That's how deceitful the old sin nature can be. Now, your old sin nature can carry you into lasciviousness. That's wild living. Or it can carry you into legalism. But both of them are immorality. There is lascivious immorality and legalistic immorality. Both of them are obnoxious to God. God doesn't accept either one of them. So, the old sin nature can be very subtle. People that get under control of their old sin nature sometimes don't even know that their old sin nature is controlling their life because they're such religious people. And even our Lord Jesus Christ faced this as the Pharisees and the scribes adhered to a religious system of law that they thought made them righteous before God. And Jesus said, no, it does not. You can read in Luke about it, in Luke 15. You can read about the self-righteous religious man who went into the temple to pray. And he boasted about what a righteous person he was. And Jesus said he's not even saved. That old sin nature can be very subtle. And there are a lot of people today in organized religion who think they're going to heaven, and they're not. Because they have bought into the fact that the old sin nature, they don't even know they have an old sin nature, actually, but their good deeds that are produced from the old sin nature, they have bought into the fact that their good deeds are going to earn them credit with God. And that in the end, God's going to weigh it all out and balance it all out, and the good's going to be more than the bad, and they're going to get to come to heaven. That's not true. There are none that are righteous, the Bible says. No, not even one. If you take a perfect God and you take an imperfect man, there's absolutely no way that your imperfection can ever equal the perfection of God. Let's take it like this. Let's take a absolutely beautiful white sheet and take one drop of blood and drop on it. Would you sleep on that sheet in a hotel room if you saw one drop of blood on an otherwise absolutely white sheet? No, you'd say that's contaminated. I'm not going to sleep on that. But you say, well, it's only a drop. That's right. But I'm not sleeping on it. So you see what I'm saying? Your sin, even though it may only be a drop, will contaminate you as far as the character of God is concerned. And there is no way you can decontaminate yourself. That's why the Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. So when you accept Christ, then you're born again spiritually, and now we have a battle. Now we have a war going on because the genetically formed old sin nature that's been controlling your life so many years now is fighting to keep control so that the Holy Spirit doesn't control you. The Bible says it's a war. And the question is, who's going to win it? And that boils down to your volition. Which one are you going to let win it? Because you are a product of your decisions. Nobody sins apart from his own consent. I mean, even if you don't know it's a sin, you wanted to do it and you did it, and before God, you are responsible for it. And you say, but I didn't know that was a sin. See, maybe no one ever told you that it's a sin to worry. Maybe no one ever told you that it's a sin to be afraid. Maybe no one ever told you that it's a sin to carry abnormal guilt around. You know, it's just interesting to me how people are easily manipulated through organized religion into thinking that they're okay because they attended a worship service on Sunday morning and they put their tithe in and they dressed up and they sashayed down the aisle and or whatever. No one ever gives you much of the mechanics about how this works. I've just read a book recently, and in this book is supposed to be one of the best authors of Christian principles and practice in America today. And as I read through the book, not one place did he give me the mechanics to how to make the spiritual life work. He told me I should live a spiritual life, and He told me the things I should be doing as a Christian, but he didn't tell me how to do it. Or that I could even possibly do these things, right things, but in a wrong way. And if there's ever a problem today that we face in organized Christianity, it's people that don't teach the mechanics of the protocol plan of God, so that true believers, men and women that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, wind up doing legitimate things, but they do them in the wrong way, and they wind up being rejected at the judgment seat of Christ as wood, hay, and stubble, because it did not glorify God. Why? Because it was produced from the energy of strength of the old sin nature. That's right. Your old sin nature can produce sin, but your old sin nature can also produce good. It can do both. Did you know that? And some of the nicest, sweetest people in the world are going to die and go spend eternity in the lake of fire because they have not believed that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. How did this nice, sweet, wonderful, loving person? It's his old sin nature. They've never been born again. They haven't had a spiritual birth. It certainly didn't come from the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the genetically formed old sin nature that's been trained to be sweet and nice. And the old sin nature can sin. You know, it's often interesting when you cross one of these sweet, nice people, you can get a pretty violent reaction sometime. So maybe you could think about that. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have an old sin nature. And you have God the Holy Spirit, and they're both inside of you. And that's why sometimes you do what you should, and sometimes you do what you shouldn't. But your old sin nature is rotten to the core. And until the day you die, you will have it with you. And that means you will always be tempted through your old sin nature. It's the source of temptation. But it's not the source of sin. The old sin nature is the source of temptation, but it's not the source of sin. Listen, what is the source of sin? It's your volition. You must choose. Yes, I will do that. Or no, I won't do that. Your old sin nature cannot make you sin. It can only tempt you to sin. But it can't make you sin. You see, once you commit a sin, once you, like Adam, say yes, then that sin nature will control your soul. And it is a much stronger power than when it was merely residing there, waiting to control you. Once it takes control, if you let your sin nature stay in control for extended periods of time, you will be completely mixed up and confused about what the plan of God is. The old sin nature is so subtle that it will blind you through arrogance to even seeing yourself as you really are, and you will think you're in an impossible situation and there's no way out, and regardless of who tries to talk to you or tell you, it won't ever get through that thick head of yours. That sin nature can actually cause you to self-destruct by manufacturing arrogance in your life. Once your volition says no to the plan of God, once the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved in your life because of personal sin, now you're operating under the power of the old sin nature, and he can be good for a while. Sure, he can fool people for a while, but eventually it's going to go into evil and the practice of evil, and eventually you're going to self-destruct through your own arrogance. Anyone who picks up a gun and blows his brains out because he's frustrated with life or he's mad at somebody and he's going to show them he's been under control of that old sin nature for quite a while. It doesn't happen overnight. That's how powerful the sin nature is. Well, does he still go to heaven? Well, sure he does. Sure he does. The Bible, Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Just because you turned your back on God and surrendered to your old sin nature, that doesn't mean God ever turned his back on you. He didn't turn his back on you. You walked away from him. You're still in the relationship. You're still a member of the royal family of God. But you're under control of that old sin nature, or your child, or your spouse. You can see it. You can see their old sin nature. You can see when it comes up in rebellion and resentment and antagonism, but it's harder to see it when it comes up in good, nice, sweet things. Moral degeneracy is hard to see. Immoral degeneracy is not hard to see. You can tell that. But moral degeneracy, when the believer or the unbeliever is sweet and nice and kind and involved in organized religion, well, it's hard to tell that the old sin nature is controlling their life, but it is. You know, there are two different types of sin here. I mean, you can do the sin of cognizance, which is when the sin nature tempts you and you recognize it's a sin, you know it's a sin, and you do it anyhow. But there are also sins of ignorance, as opposed to sins of cognizance. And the sin of ignorance is when the temptation comes from that old sin nature, and you don't really recognize it as a potential sin, like worry or fear, and yet you choose to give in to it, and you commit a sin of ignorance. But when you use your volition to sin, you're going to sin one way or the other, and you're going to wind up in the cosmic system, in Satan's world. You know, the Bible says if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. So everyone has a trend in his old sin nature, and that trend could be a trend towards lawlessness and some sort of immoral degeneracy, or it could be a trend towards self-righteous legalism and some kind of moral degeneracy, but it all comes from the old sin nature because it's rotten to the core. And you're not going to get rid of it. You're not going to train it to behave. The only way to live the Christian life and satisfy the justice of God is to allow God's Holy Spirit to control your life. So you have to make a choice. Am I going to walk in the energy of the flesh, or am I going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? Anytime you sin, you're in the energy of the flesh. Anytime you sin, you have gotten out of control, and you're under your old sin nature. And the quicker you rebound, use problem-solving device number one, the quicker you confess that sin to God, and the quicker you're going to be back under control of the Holy Spirit and resume your spiritual life. And if you don't acknowledge that sin, if you reside under control of the old sin nature, you're going to begin chain sinning. You're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into reversionism, or some people call it backsliding, until eventually you're going to come to the point where you think, well, I must not even be saved because look what I'm doing. No, you were saved. You're just confused now. That's how powerful your sin nature is. It can distort the facts in your mind. It can confuse you. It can cause you to think that you and God are okay because you're a good person and you really don't do bad things. Or it can take you into the depths of degradation and sin and immorality and evil. It's your sin nature. It's rotten to the core. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, it does not go away. You just now, for the first time, have something to deal with it. See, when you accept Christ, the Bible says you're circumcised from the sin nature. It's cut away. It doesn't have the power to control you anymore. Now you have a choice. And the first time in your life you have a choice, you can let the Holy Spirit control you, or you can let your old sin nature control you. It's up to you. If you let the Holy Spirit control your life, you'll use rebound, you'll stay filled with the Spirit, you'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and become a mature Christian and glorify God and represent Christ. Or if you let your old sin nature control you, then you're going to get into arrogance and eventually maybe into religious self-righteous arrogance and self-destruct. It's up to you. But that's about as plain as I can make it. The job is yours. What are you going to do with it? This is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.